This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing. From the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
ENN tonight is brought to you by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalise and
come get some.
Yeah.
Welcome to ENN, everyone. Oh, yeah. Hi. Let's start off by saying, let's say good evening to Michael.
Well, then you're just ship-shafting.
I think you got his point across, though.
I mean, that's not how this works.
No.
Let's say good evening to Michael and Don.
Well,
and
then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're ready. You're
and good evening to myself. Tell him Paulie O sent you.
Didn't have the guts to do it to his face.
Well, yeah. It wasn't about guts. It's just I didn't have, Paul, you would have had to bring it up. I'm like, hey, Paul, want to hear my impression of you? People say it's really bad. Yeah, I don't know.
Would you do that to Michael if we were talking to Tyson?
No. No, I would, because that could be dangerous.
Well, if he's on the phone, what's he going to do? Come through the phone and hit me?
Is that really so? You got no problem. So if we get Tyson on the phone anytime, you have no issue with me going, hey, Mike, ask Michael Kay to do his impression of you.
Thank you for being such a gentleman.
I think it's a great. It's flattering. It's perfect.
I think the difference is my Paul O'Neill one actually is flattering. Tell him Paulie O sent you.
No, it's not. It doesn't sound like him.
But I don't make him sound stupid. I make him sound warm and friendly. Your Mike Tyson one. Thank you for being such a gentleman. People, you treat me with respect.
Pitch perfect.
I mean, that's not nice. Pitch it's not perfect. Good either.
Pitch perfect.
He's a very scared man.
And then what's that one?
Yeah, that's different. But your imitation of Michael's imitation of Tyson was spot on.
Thank you. Thank you for treating me with respect.
Beautiful.
A lot of people don't treat me with respect, but you treat me with respect.
I never said tweet.
I think you did.
I said tweet.
Do you have the respect cut over there, guys? This horrible Tyson impression that Michael did? There's so many to get through, I know. He's done several different bad ones.
Many
and
I don't think that.
Gentleman.
No, it's not that one. No, it's a different one.
I want to thank you for treating me with respect. No, people don't do that.
I can see
in your eyes you treated me with respect.
Treat. It's a T-R.
You know what? You know what? I take it back. You did say treat, not tweet.
Yes. Yeah.
I take it back.
So you're just trying to make me look bad.
I thought you said tweet.
No, I said treat.
So there's a bunch of rough audio to play from today, but let's play something. Let's start with some positive audio. Let's hear the end of the big game last night, okay? The Panarin game winner right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Bouncing puck. Panarin has it. Moves to the net. Shoots. The net comes off. Officials will get together.
Donnie, what did you see?
Well, the net was clearly off the moorings, but the ruling could be that if the Islanders were the ones that knocked it off, and the feeling was that it would have gone in had the net stayed on the moorings, there's a very good chance, guys, this can count.
Here's the referee, Jake Brink.
After review, we have a good goal on the ice.
Wow.
Rangers win 6-5 in overtime.
You know, if they had Emmys for radio, he just won an Emmy, Don.
Who? Kenny or Don?
Don.
The whole broadcast was terrific.
Oh, stop being such a socialist. It's you.
Not being a socialist.
So you're saying instead of crediting the whole broadcast, of which Don probably did 11%,
right?
Take away all the credit from the guys who did 89% is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that's how like awards work. You take snippets of what somebody said. He nailed it. That wins an Emmy or a Marconi, whatever the heck it is now in radio.
Well, again, this doesn't happen without Ray Santiago.
Listen,
they don't have to go to me.
Enough.
They don't have to go to me. But they did the right thing because it was right there. I was right to the right of the net. It was fun. It was really one of the best broadcasts I've been a part of.
Were you wearing what was the situation? Were you wearing a headset or you had headphones and a handheld? What was going on there?
I had a my handheld microphone, and then I had the headset on. And,
all right, there you go.
So okay. I was all set listening to the broadcast, and all I did from a warmth standpoint besides jacket and hat is I did have long johns on.
You just did long johns?
But a thermal, thermal underwear.
Was it a suit situation or?
No, I went with a sport jacket with a sweater underneath. I mean, because I didn't get crazy because I wasn't really going to be seen other than the jacket.
Except
you
were seen all over ABC waving.
Yeah.
On TV.
Yeah, you were on TV in the background. Well, over
the first
and over
text
again.
I got from my wife was put your hat on because she could see me and whenever there was anything in the corner. And I was not mugging for the camera. The picture that went on social media was me waving behind Subban and Messier. That there was a fan, I even believe it was an Islander fan, waving to me from the crowd, and I was waving back. I had no idea, so I was not mugging for the camera. I do apologize, although that's probably my best chance to be on ABC.
You weren't intentionally being a yo-yo.
That's wrong.
No, I was not being a yo-yo, no.
What you said was incorrect.
What's that?
What do you mean?
It was your best chance. No, it was your only chance.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now, hold on. Real quick, Michael. How about this? Don leaves the station.
Right.
Goes and works at the Fan for 15 years. Gets okay. put together with someone else. Goes on a hell of a run.
Right.
There's at that point, wouldn't there be a chance that there's an ESPN Disney film about his career?
Yeah, that is how they usually do it.
At least a 30 for 30.
Yeah, and no, but maybe it'll be a special straight to ABC situation. We don't know. All right, let's stay on the positive audio tip.
I'll tell you, it's just digital though. Go ahead.
Let's hear from the newest New York Yankee, Juan Soto, on this Yankee lineup.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. I mean, we have a great lineup. I think it's going to be unbelievable from the top to the bottom. It's going to be great players right there. And I think we're going to try our best to have fun as much as we can with it.
He was also asked about the keys to winning a championship. He knows he won one.
I've just played team baseball. That's all that matters. Try to drive that good vibe, trusting each other, and play good baseball. At the end of the day, we gotta put our egos away, and we gotta play as a team and try to do the little things when it matters. You know, that's what it takes you to the next level. The homers, the doubles, the big hits, they're gonna come, but you gotta do the little things first to get to that spot.
He's gonna have such a great year. And all Yankee fans can hope for, and the A's go for, is that there's a chance they keep him.
How about you want a scorching hot take here, Michael?
What's
scorching
that?
Hot. Scorching. This is hot off the press.
Wow, okay. I'm anxiously awaiting this.
If he's phenomenal.
Right.
I'm not saying he will surpass Aaron Judge in popularity, but he could become a real kid's favorite player. He could really give you that sort of Steph Curry, player of today kind of vibe that kids are very into.
Well, he's not that much older than the kid.
No, he's young. He's small. He plays excited. He's
small.
But he hits. But, I mean, in how tall is he?
He's a big man.
He's 6 feet tall?
You see live on Yes earlier. Yes. He's a big guy.
He feels small relative to, I'm sorry, next to Judge and Stanton, he'll look more relatable.
Well, I
to
mean,
kids.
Gargantuan people look small next to Judge.
He's 6'2", which on this team is, it's a Rosenberg plus. But his style of play is so fun. I just think he has a chance to become immensely popular on this team.
Well, there you have it. Go out and get your Soto jerseys.
Yeah,
you'll see. I've enjoyed
this
man's work.
Listen, I can't speak to what kids are going to identify. But, for the people that want to go out and get a jersey and all that, well, there has to be some sort of feeling that he's going to be back. If this ends up being one and done.
That's why it's the beauty of the Yankees, no name on the back.
Right.
Somebody else will be number 22 then. Don, what happens if Little Marco, L-I-L Marco, comes up to you and says, Daddy, I love Juan Soto. I want his jersey. What do you do?
You get him a jersey.
Yankee jersey.
That's it?
Yeah, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I give my son...
You don't try to talk him out of it?
Come on. What, was this a clown show? let him figure it out for himself. I'm not forcing my son to like... Listen, it's going to be very fluid, but we'll see whatever it is through, and then eventually he'll figure out what he wants to do, and then the lesson will be you stick with it. But if he comes to me during the baseball season at 6 and says, I love the Yankees, I love Juan Soto, can I have a jersey? Yeah, you have a jersey. Let him take his own journey, man. Then it's genuine. My father never forced me to be a Giant fan. It was natural. I think he was very happy that I was. He would have been disappointed if I wasn't, but he wasn't going to force me. What is this?
Yeah, but your father, you just saying once randomly, I want a Joe Morris jersey, and your father would say over his dead body. He's not sure.
No, Joe Morris, he would.
No, no, no. But I just mean the principle of going out and buying you a jersey on the
If he said, I want a Joe Namath jersey, your father would have racked you across the head.
Well, that too.
I remember my mom took me out shopping, and I wanted a Giant hat. I remember what they called them. It was just not the fitted hat, the adjustable hats. But there was like those lines, and then it would have the NFL logo of the team.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those, right? Yeah, those were great. And I wanted a Giant one. They didn't have a Giant one. But I still wanted to have something. I must have been like 7 or 8 years old. Okay. So I got a Ram. I don't know why. Maybe I just liked the Ram or whatever.
It was blue.
And it was blue because that was my favorite color. Good call. So I come home and my dad's like, what's that hat? It's not a Giant hat. And I explained it to him. He's like, all right. Like, he didn't get mad at me, but I could see the disappointment.
The disappointment.
In his face. Yeah. And I never
he
wore
thought
the
you
hat.
Were a yo-yo. You know what crossed his mind? He thought, am I raising a yo-yo?
It crossed his mind. You know what really was hurtful? He actually thought, you know what? Maybe David's a better kid.
Well, if there was that thought,
looked down,
it was fleeting.
It was quickly erased.
It was quickly.
Yeah. Well, no, he thought it for a second, Michael, and then he just looked down and went right back to ripping up that pizza box and putting it in the bottle. You know what I mean?
People still talking about that.
Talking. Raving.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's go to the Mets for a moment. Let's hear from Pete Alonso.
Show me something.
Asked if he wants to be a lifelong Met.
I mean, for me, I think that number one goal is just being healthy through the course of the year. I love it here. I definitely have envisioned myself of being a lifelong Met. That's something that I've definitely thought about. And I love New York. It's a really special place for my family and I. And I've definitely thought of the idea. I've definitely welcomed the idea. But I can't predict the future. For me, I just want to focus on this season. I just want to be the best person I can be, and I've sat back and listened and just want to be the best player I can be. That's it.
If you took players and had them, you know, answer that question, players are going to be free agents, blindfolded, even with earmuffs on, you get, oh, that's a Boris client. He schools them on what, never say, I would move heaven and earth to be here. I want to finish my career, because then you've lost leverage. You just lost. If you listen to Soto today, it's the same thing. They never tip their hand.
But I'll tell you this. If Pete Alonso was your boyfriend and you said, hey, are we going to be together forever, Pete? You wouldn't feel great about the answer at the end.
But I think everybody understands that he's a free agent and he's going to test free agency. There's no different than Judge's answers back a year ago. I think he answered it the way he should answer it.
If he tests free agency, he's not coming back.
I don't.
In my opinion.
I don't know, Michael, in this analytic world, if there is going to be somebody that is going to pay him more, you know, than the Mets, or that he's going to get what he wants. If he wants 200, if he wants... you know, a contract that's going to pay him north of $40 million a year, I don't think he's going to get that anywhere.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the disconnect. The teams are saying, okay, the comps for first base, Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson. So about $25 to $28 million a year.
Right.
Scott is saying the comps are Mark Teixeira and Prince Fielder.
Okay.
Both contracts that he did, too. And, you know, and the front office is going to say, that was then, this is now. That's not what first basemen get paid.
So I think the only team that could see value beyond the numbers are the Mets, because of how popular he is, and he's a forever, you know, wanting to be a forever
Met. Is he as popular as you make it out to be, though?
Well, I think it's popular from the sense that he's been here the whole time. You know, they drafted him. He came up in the minor leagues and all that. You know, what's really biting them, Michael, is the fact that they, you know, they called him up and played him when they played him.
Right.
If they waited that time, then they'd have another year, right?
Thanks to Brody Van Wagenen.
Right. So,
and that ended up being the right move because he had 52 home runs.
Right. But so do I think he's as popular as Judge is to the Yankees? No, I don't. And I do think that there is a part of the fan base that kind of has difficult warming up to him. But for a franchise that has not had a lot of forever players, the potential of him being a forever player, I think, does resonate with his fan base. So if there's a team that might give a little extra for that, I think it would be the Mets. I don't think anybody else is going to give any extra because I don't think he fills buildings. And so everybody around baseball is going to look at it the same numbers that Stearns is going to look at it as. And I don't think anybody is going to pay him, you know, north of $40 million a year. So I think that there is a potential that if he becomes a free agent, he might come back.
He averages 157 games a year when you take mm-hmm. out the 2020 COVID season. And he hits a lot of home runs. There's a value to that. I don't know if he fills buildings, but he fills columns.
Well, like Peter said last week, you know, when you're hitting 50-plus home runs and driving in 100 RBIs, I mean, isn't that going to help you win games at some point? Even if you don't have a great batting average, you don't have a great on-base percentage, if you're driving in that many runs, responsible for that much offense, you know, can it translate into being a help to your team? If the numbers are that exaggerated?
To the audio that's not so great, guys, let's hear from Anthony Rendon on how he feels about baseball.
That's never been a top priority for me. This is a job, so I do this to make a living. My faith, my family come first before this job. So if those things come before it, I'm leaving.
Is it a priority?
Oh, it's a priority for sure. This is my job. I'm here, aren't I?
Do you want
to
be here?
I don't want to talk to you guys at 7 in the morning or whatever time it is. So,
do you want to like be here playing baseball?
I have answered your question. So why do you keep picking at it?
Oh, yeah, you technically answered it.
Thank you.
So what he said, if it becomes more important than his family, he's walking away from what, $30 million a year. Then you're a man of principle.
I need context here, and I thought the reporters did a good job, and he shut it down. But the reason they're saying you didn't answer the question, like, so what would it take? I mean, obviously, if your wife's having a baby and she's having a difficult labor, or God forbid somebody in your family dies, we don't expect you to play. You know, but if you're telling me my wife's got a doctor's appointment, you know, with the dentist and she needs a ride and I'm not going to come to work today, that's an issue. So I just kind of want to know the line. Like, are you not going to play on Sunday because you're going to go to church? You know, like when you say you have God and family ahead of your job, yeah, everybody does. But put it in context for us. What exactly, did something happen that this is a topic of conversation, Michael?
No, I mean, he doesn't play. He never plays. I mean, if you look at the first years of the contract, he's never on the field.
But him not playing, was it because of family issues or because of God?
No, I think it. Again, I can't speak to it. I'm not out there. But you know, there's he's not pushing it to get on the field when he's got injuries.
But that's why I'd love to talk to him. Like, so you're telling me that this is just a job. Okay, I get that. I don't like it, but I guess I get it. And that you put God and family ahead of your job. Okay, that's not really telling me anything. But if you don't play a lot of games or you don't play when you're hurt, what does that have to do with God and family?
It's funny because the juxtaposition of him saying that, right? And then on the same day, you know, Mike Trout said, I never want to leave here. I mean, he essentially said, you know, I would die for the Angels to win. Mm. And then you have a guy go, it's not a priority for me.
But that's why, when getting back to the Paul O'Neill conversation, I think it's cover. Because the fact is, I don't think he really likes what he does. But he's exceptionally talented, knows he can make a ton of money. And the reason he's throwing out God and family is it's cover so you can't go after him. But what does one have to do with the other? If he doesn't play because of a little ticky-tack injury, if he doesn't give his all, if he's not completely committed to the team, what does that have to do with God and family?
Well, last year he had these injuries, right? And he said last year he's been considering retiring for the last 10 years. This guy makes $245 million.
So what the real answer is that I don't like what I do. But unfortunately, God played a trick on me and had the best thing that I can do is play the one sport that I can't stand. But I can't say that, so I'm going to say that it's not a priority to me because I put God and family. So who can go after him for saying that? But I just don't know how what one has to do with the other. Paul O'Neill cared about his family and God as much as any athlete, and yet he went out there and was nicknamed the Warrior for the way that he played. So I don't know. I really don't know what the heck he's even talking about.
But it stings extra if you're an Angels fan because he hasn't been good since he got there.
Peter.
Right.
Peter.
He's not the guy they got.
3 years, right? They paid him $100 million. In 3 years, he hit 13 home runs.
So 3 years, 13 home runs, and now you're like, you're laughing in the face of the reporters. Like, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to be here. Baseball is not my priority. A lot's changed. Oh, really? So after you won the championship, you're saying now you're a family. It's tough, man.
In January, Peter, he was on the Jack Vita show, it's called. He said, we've got to shorten the season, man. There's too many dang games. 162 games, 185 days, or whatever it is. Man, no. We got to shorten this bad boy up. Okay. Are you willing to shorten up your salary, Anthony?
Man, he wants his cake and eat it, too.
By the way, Tony Two Bags, you know, I get it. You're away from your family, and that's tough. You know that the days that you're away from your family, it'll end for you by about, I don't know, 37, 38 years old. So you got plenty. Yeah. You do get time with your family.
That's around the time that Michael and I got married. So you can...
Yeah, by the way, you didn't even have to have four kids and have a whole family in your 20s. You could have done the whole thing later. This is the way your life has been set up. That's great. But, like, you can't cry about making millions and millions and millions in the prime of your career.
It's also a bad look for your teammates. I mean, they're busting their hump every single day to be out on the field. And it's not a priority for me.
It basically sounds like you won your title and you're checked out now.
But right, I've made my money.
Not that I would ever feel bad for him, but can you imagine like the joke that God plays on you if your greatest talent, the thing that you're the best at, you can't stand? That's what it sounds like here.
Yeah.
He has no love for this game whatsoever, but it's the one thing he's really good at.
Shame on the Angels. Should have done better homework.
Well, listen, someone who certainly sounded even worse than Anthony Rendon was Rick Pitino. You guys have that Rick Pitino audio talking about his... St. John's team after the loss?
Oh, boy.
That is unfortunate.
That's all right.
Let's hear it.
We are so non-athletic that we can't guard anybody without fouling. It's been that way the year, but we came out in the second half and we knew they would come after us, but you have to move the ball, and we just took 4 minutes of rush shots. I think they're unathletic. I don't think they move well laterally. I don't think they're going to pick it up in the next week. I think they're slow laterally. I mean, Sean Conway gives you everything he can. He's slow laterally. About five guys are slow laterally. Even the Celtics, when we lost, I've enjoyed every minute being a Boston Celtic coach. Didn't like the fact that we lost in that following year, but this has been the most unenjoyable experience I've had since I've been coaching.
Do you have any second thoughts of taking this job?
No, not at all. It's not St. John's. It's my team. I think they're very respectful.
God.
They hear, but they don't listen. It's taken me a month to get them to throw bounce passes. Actually, 2 months to throw bounce passes. Just thinking of getting ready for Georgetown, because Georgetown could definitely beat us. I'm not even thinking of the future at all.
Oh,
just thinking of the next game and the next game and the next game, and that's it. Just try to get as many wins as you possibly can.
What is wrong with you, man?
They can't move laterally, Peter.
I've heard that. Cannot move louder. Let's hear something positive. Can I hear Jaromir Jagr getting his number 68 retired in Pittsburgh and shouting out his girlfriend yesterday?
I want to say thanks to Dominica, my girlfriend. She's too young to remember I played in Pittsburgh, but I told her all the stories, so don't worry about it.
Did you see her, Peter?
I did.
You're the one introduced to me, but... I did.
Yammer's always done quite well, and the 68 goes to the rafters. Next stop, if he ever stops playing hockey in Czechoslovakia, in Czech Republic, will be the NHL Hall of Fame. That'll do it for ENN. Brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their President's Day sales event.
Larry Hardesty's coming up next. That's always a joy, so stay tuned for that. We'll be back again tomorrow at 3. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.